hear the emotional bit before you put all the spit and polish and fancy on top of it.
Absolutely. And I find, as a songwriter, if I can jump in, it's, I think it's, you know, like you were saying, Dave, too, when you strip all the arrangement away, you're left with the kernel of the song, the kernel of the melody and the rhythm, and, you know, the actual bare bones. And so to be in an environment like Sunday Best with an audience like the Halfway Club, which is, they're so into it and they're wrapped. You know, you go to a lot of places and you play music and you kind of, like, are they paying attention at the Halfway Club? They really are,
yeah.
You know, and you get feedback and you get to be in that space where you're hearing how your song sounds when it's stripped back and how it plays with people who are actually attending to really wanting to hear what you have to say. And it's a really great space to develop as a songwriter.
So how big are the audiences usually, like, anywhere from 2 to 200?
Well, yeah, at least there's more than two, because at least two people are behind the bar working. But, like, you know, I think it's one of the things, like, certainly as we're building up more attention, like, there's definitely the last couple sessions, like the one that we did last time, there were a lot of people in the bar that were just there, you know, enjoying their Sunday afternoon, and they were like, what is this? How often do you guys do this? They got really into it.
Yeah.
And I just generally appreciate that.
Yeah, like, yeah.
You know, to be able to work on material, to put stuff out there that isn't fully cooked is another one of the reasons why I like doing this.
Uh-huh.
Is like putting up sketches, you know, things that aren't fully finished, but, you know, you have enough of it to play it out and see how people respond to it.
Yeah.
Have either of you guys ever been up there doing a song that you're working on and on the fly thought of a new way of doing it and just sort of like, you know, I'm going to try that right now.
I like that.
Or maybe you make a mistake and you have to recover from it and it takes things in a different direction than you maybe set out for.
Definitely the latter.
Yeah, you want to take that?
Yeah, I mean, the latter for sure. I think, you know, every songwriter is familiar and well acquainted with the live moment where you do a flub on your own song, you forget the lyrics, or you hit a wrong chord drop at the wrong place or whatever, and you just have to roll with it. And that's also one of the great things about live play and being, again, in that singer-songwriter context, because I think it's a really good muscle to exercise to be able to just play through stuff. You know, if you hit that little stumble, that's cool. You just keep playing, you know? And I think it was Miles Davis who said something about, you know, whatever the note is that you've played, what determines whether it's the right note is what you play after it. You know?
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah.
Oh, totally.
You know?
Totally.
Mistakes are guaranteed, but how you recover from the mistake is where the magic happens.
That's right.
Yeah, cool. Well, so it's a safe space to try things out. That's what I'm taking away from this. That's big. As I've come back to involving myself with music a lot more after a short 35 years fundraising break, I listen to music a lot more closely, and I watch, when I watch live bands play, I'm starting to play again, and I find myself like listening to things things to see if, like, if there's things I can steal or somehow, you know, inspire me to play. Do you guys exchange ideas, or would it be flattering to you to hear something that you thought you came up with, like, coming out of somebody else? Or, I mean, how do you as a songwriter not, like, there's other songwriters there, maybe they're just there to steal your work.
Someone taking notes with a recorder. Like, yeah.
They're watching.
That's
me.
Damn good. I'm taking watching. That one.
Yeah.
I mean, I think the theft or inspiration is the same thing. Like, you know, the drive to want to play is, or to write, is usually taken by the fact that, like, I want to do what that person is doing, and, you know, it's a little jealousy inducing, right? I think when even in prepping for this meeting, I was like, or this session, I was thinking, like, you know, I would say that someone like Elvis Costello is a tremendous influence, but also a huge barrier, because I've never felt like I was ever going to be eloquent enough or skilled enough as a musician to play the stuff that he plays, like his chord structures and the where his narratives come from, and, like, all of that stuff just felt completely untouchable, right? And then you hear someone like Paul Westerberg in The Replacements, and it's like, I was waiting on that bus just like he was. Mm-hmm. And you're like, I get that, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And I get that it's only four chords and one of them is a dip. Like, I get that, too. It's not hard. Mm-hmm. But that approachability is actually part of the driver of, like, well, if he can do it, I can do it, right? They talk about that with, like, bands like the Velvet Underground. Like, if they can do it, then we can, right?
And right.
That kind of approachability actually is important because it gets you to think that it's not untouchable, right? You were saying before, like, now I can use the internet to help me learn some of that stuff. Whereas before, it's like, well, I don't know if this guitar's in tune, but I'm doing it. I'm just going to do it, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's do it.
Yeah, somewhere out there are people who are wondering, like, they want to, but maybe they're nervous about it. So I think we're trying to give those folks permission to please
absolutely
go for it. And anyway, I'm not sure you really get a choice if you got the music in you. Like, I have a few regrets at this point in my life, in my advanced years. One of them is that I never really took the time to learn how to play guitar properly. And part of that is because I heard Led Zeppelin when I was 15 years old and just thought, it is absolutely pointless. It cannot get better than this. I have nothing to add. But the problem is, I hear the music in my head. I will dream songs. And I don't know how to get them out of my head. So, like, if you're a songwriter and you got the music and you better just, like, I'm just here to tell you, it's probably a mental illness that's not going to go away. I don't know if you guys are even closer to it than me.
Yeah, I think, for me, what I found with music is it's such it's expression, you know, and everybody has a voice, everybody expresses. I like to say to people, you know, like when you're in utero, the first thing you know is a heartbeat, right? If from the moment you can hear it, you can hear a heartbeat. So rhythm is innate to a human being. You know, we speak, we know sound, melody, these things are innate. And so I think for me, discovering songwriting was, like you said, permission, you know? Hearing other songwriters do stuff. And I've always been inspired by people, you know, Jimmy Page being one of them. David Gilmour from Pink Floyd, you know, Prince, a lot of just phenomenal artists who have inspired me and who made me feel like, to your point, Tony, like I could do that too. Maybe I wouldn't be, you know, nobody's going to play guitar like Prince. Let's be real. He's the guru, but you know, but he showed me like you can do whatever you want. You can say whatever you want. Like Prince really taught me you can do, you can say, you can be whatever you want to be. The stage is yours. The microphone is yours. The instrument in your hand is yours. Make these things an extension of yourself and just say what you have to say. And I think that has been a huge thing as a songwriter to remember that, your voice is your own, and there's no competition out here. We're all expressing our experiences of life, and you know these are the tools, and we're super fortunate to have the muse wanting to sit with us as we go through life. So
yeah. Hey Tony, you want to play us a song?
Sure.
All right.
I'm gonna play something that is like to the point of like playing things that are new and just putting them out there. I think I actually played this at the last Sunday Best, and I didn't have all the lyrics figured out, and I still might not have all the lyrics figured out, but you know, Live Without a Net, right? It's called The Other Shoe. Listening to my advice, well, I'm not one to see a side of you who shares my point of view. Well, I'm not here to take offense. I've grown thin of empty platitudes and single-sided news. Lost in broadcast fallacy, opinion spawned so tragically.
overwhelming by design. There's no guidance when you can't define who's writing all the signs. Time delays the consequence while the cycle circumvents. It's less about the fact, more about the feet, amplified and raging out, hoping to be seen.
This is where a big solo going, so if you want to play, just throw some stuff on top.
Song about sports.
Nice. I like it.
Life's a game.
Mm-hmm.
Tucker?
Yeah.
You want to play something?
Sure. Are we playing songs that are in process now, or are we playing just any old song?
Whatever you want.
All right, well, I'll do a kind of a favorite. This one's called Better Luck.